Hello, Flash fanatics, and welcome to Back in a Flash. We're your hosts, Steve
and Meg, and this podcast will be talking about all things The Flash, past, present, and future.
And those times are relative to the Speed Force, so who knows? Welcome back, listeners. It's been 2 weeks since our last episode, which means we're 2 weeks closer to the Flash pilot, whenever that might air.
Did they have a release date for that yet? Have they even teased it?
They don't have a specific date, but we know that it's going to be on Tuesdays this fall. We know that Flash is going to be on Tuesdays, and Arrow is going to be on Wednesdays, Gotham is on Mondays, and Constantine is going to be on Fridays. So, if they put iZombie on Thursdays,
yes.
we've got our full DC TV bingo. Every day of the week, a DC show.
That would be amazing.
It'd be pretty fun. So this past week, we saw X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah. That's
right.
Let's
talk about that really quickly here.
But sure.
One of the things that we saw in X-Men Days of Future Past was Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And what did you think of him?
I thought, okay, so I was a little sad that we didn't see more of him, actually, because,
right.
You know, he's at the beginning of the movie, and they briefly, like, a glimpse of him, you know, when
right.
with his sister or something like that, when all this stuff is going down with the stadium and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like a really fun character. I really like that he's like a super klepto and that,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like he's like just hanging out. He likes, you know, video games. He was playing like games in his basement and stuff like that. And, you know, it just, what a fun character. And,
yeah. He was just having, like, he was super lighthearted and super fun. And
the slow motion thing that they did, with, like, that whole scene of him breaking into the Pentagon and breaking Magneto out.
Well, let's not spoil stuff too much.
All right, well.
People might not have seen it.
That's true.
But all of his action scenes in it were top-notch. We
yes.
can say that.
Yeah.
And
the effects that they used to show his speed and the things that he can do while he's
right.
running is really, really cool. Like,
right.
they did an exceptional job with that.
They really did. And it was actually really cool. So they did a scene that was similar to, like, the Matrix bullet time effect.
Mm-hmm.
But it was to, like, a modern caliber. And I actually was reading some articles about how they did it. It was really cool. They actually filmed that scene at 3,600 frames per second. Now, if you're not familiar, movies are generally filmed at 24 frames a second. So we're talking way faster frame rate. And that's
yeah.
how they're able to capture all of the, like, really subtle
tiny
bits
little
of motion.
Movement. Yeah.
And then so they record at 3,600 frames a second and then slow it way down.
Yeah.
And you get really smooth, buttery movement.
And it was buttery. That's a really good term
right.
for that. Because honestly, it was so smooth. And like
yeah.
the quality of the image and
mm-hmm.
stuff, even slowed down that far, was just beautiful.
Yeah. And Bryan Singer, so when they were filming that scene, Bryan Singer posted a tweet with an image of the set.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, brightest set I've ever worked on. Because when they film at that high a frame rate, they have to really flood the scene with lights.
Oh, absolutely.
Way more so that the picture looks right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you end up with a really dark image because the shutter is only open for a very brief period of time.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to hear about.
That's really cool. No,
yeah.
I think you shared that article with me. I read through that too. It all of it was just really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that they filmed that whole scene.
Right.
Or I guess series.
No, I'd expect that those kinds of effects are probably not anything we'll see on a TV budget.
those are probably a little bit out of their budget.
They're probably a little out of reach for the Flash TV show. But it was cool to see what could be done. With the speedster and a lot of the personality traits.
Yeah.
And like how he approaches his super speed and having fun with it and things like that. There's no reason those can't be translated into the context of a Flash show.
Yes. And they might be able to figure out. I mean, it's just a good idea, I guess, of like the possibilities of what they could do with
sure.
it. Even they might be able to figure out a way to like scale it down
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Not fork out like right. a lot of money to, right. to make something similar.
Right. And we did get a little glimpse at a slow motion effect in the trailer as well, but not to the same degree.
When
at
the
all.
Waitress drops that tray.
Is right. talking about? When she drops the tray and the person tosses the keys over Barry's shoulder and yeah. things like that.
No, and those were well done for, I mean, like for a TV yeah. series, I think that they were good, but
they were.
No,
you're just not gonna get movie yeah. movie effects on a TV budget.
For sure,
they looked really good for a TV budget. But yeah.
But I think that they were also pretty standard slow motion ideas. You know, mm-hmm. like the premise behind the scenes for right. those slow motion scenes were pretty standard
right.
Ideas. I feel like the way that they did this Quicksilver scene in X-Men was fairly unique. Like I yeah. mean, I've never seen anything shot like that way before.
Right. Or not quite like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So it's just it's a really cool idea, I think, that they, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. came up with.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Over the past couple weeks, the pilot screener DVDs have gone out to a bunch of people in the industry. And we've heard some pretty cool things from a lot of comic book writers and a lot of TV reviewers. They haven't been allowed to write full reviews of the pilot, but they were allowed to give, like, their quick opinions on it. And
I would seriously give anything to see this pilot. I mean, all of these like little brief reviews have been so positive. Like yeah. everybody has been just singing its praises, basically. They're like, I already expected it to be awesome, but man, it just blew me away. So
yeah, especially like Mark Waid is one person I'm really excited. His opinion has been so positive of the show. He had a big run on The Flash before Geoff Johns came in. He was like the name in The Flash comics, had a really long run. And he also is very upfront and honest if he doesn't like something.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, he was not a big fan of Man of Steel. That wasn't his version of Superman. That wasn't what he wanted to see.
Oh, yeah. He didn't care for the destruction in that, right?
Right, okay. Right.
Yeah.
And he was very open about it. So I don't think that he would be posting great things about the pilot if he didn't actually genuinely think that it was a great pilot.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think he even said that it was astounding, which is very high praise. So.
Right. No, his tweet said, not only is the Flash pilot excellent, but for this, the dead mom retcon doesn't great. Great show, and Tom Cavanaugh is astounding.
Oh, Tom Cavanaugh is astounding, yeah.
Right.
Still.
Yeah, the dead mom retcon. So that was something that we haven't really talked about. In the comics, originally, the backstory of Barry Allen's mother being killed when he was young and his father being incarcerated for that wasn't a part of his backstory. That was just added a few years ago. When they did the Flash Rebirth, it was Geoff Johns bringing Barry Allen back into the forefront of the Flash.
What was the story before then?
Before that, it was following Wally West. He was the Flash.
Well,
before.
No, but I meant like originally. What was the Flash? Like, how did he become an orphan, more or less?
I don't think that he was an orphan. I think that he had parents, and they just weren't a big part of the story. But I haven't read a lot of those stories, so I'm not sure.
Oh.
About that.
We should input from
right.
our listeners.
Yeah. If you guys have anything to add on that, if you have read some of those older comics.
Or if you have someone, like, one to recommend to us to read so that we can kind of get a better idea.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear some of that. But anyways, it's been really exciting hearing some of those first reactions to the pilot episode.
Yeah, it just makes me want to see it that much more.
And then we also had John Wesley Shipp talked with the people at comicbooktherapy.com, and he did a really neat interview with them, had lots of things to say about working with Grant Gustin and what it was like being part of that, and he addressed all of the fans' thoughts about him playing Jay Garrick and what that would look like, and that he's not playing Jay Garrick, that he's playing Henry Allen.
Yeah.
I
think there was even a point where he said a lot of, quite a few fans have come up to him and said, you know, the only reason I'm going to watch this is because you're in it. And he's like, yeah, man, like whatever gets you in front of the TV, right. Do it. Like I'm right. down because, he's, you know, he's sure that the show is going to convince them otherwise, you know, that they're going to change their minds and fall
right.
in love.
Right.
With Grant Gustin as, the Flash.
Yeah. And he did confirm in that interview that he's going to be a recurring guest. So he will be back, not just for the pilot. He'll be in a few episodes.
Yeah.
Not a regular, but a recurring guest. So that'll be fun to see him kind of come in every now and then and be a presence on the show. So that'll be fun.
Absolutely. I did hear that instead of bulking up, like, you know, Stephen Amell had to do for The Arrow.
Right.
Grant Gustin, I guess, has just been... running a lot because he's supposed to be aerodynamic right. and thin and, you know, like right. wily or whatever, you know, so he's just been right. training instead of bulk training and weightlifting and stuff like that. He's just been
mm-hmm.
running, which is perfect, I guess.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it seems
with like an
Olympic for the Flash.
Olympic trainer, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually one of the things that John Wesley Shipp talked about in that interview was the look of the new Flash compared to the Flash that he played back in the 90s show.
He oh,
was
yeah.
saying he was saying that the 90s show, like, he felt like his costume was really a lot bulkier than it ought to be
yeah.
for a superhero whose primary power is running really fast. Like, a more aerodynamic and a slimmer superhero makes a lot more sense for a person that is the fastest man on Earth.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would tend to agree. It makes a lot of sense that he's a slimmer character than your Stephen Amell is.
Right.
Oliver Queen.
I think that people actually kind of had not necessarily an issue with it or whatever, but I think that they look at Grant and think of Glee and
right.
His goofiness or, you know, like not, you know, just
right.
Daintiness almost. I don't want to say that word because I know it holds like a negative connotation, but for lack of a better term.
Oh, I mean, he's an actor, so part of being an actor is being able to portray yourself and present yourself in whatever way you feel is most appropriate for the role.
Absolutely.
And I guess I didn't feel like he was playing a character in Glee in the Flash pilot. I felt like he was playing Barry Allen.
Yeah.
It seemed pretty appropriate to me.
Did you see him in Glee? Like, did you ever watch that?
I haven't. No.
It was very short-lived. And
yeah.
I mean, he did a good job for that character. I thought that he did, right. you know, an exceptional job or whatever. So I didn't really have any issues with it, but I also can, you know, make that.
You were making connections between him on The Flash and him on Glee because you had seen that?
No, I actually can make, like, the delineation between those two, like, knowing that he's an actor cool. and he plays right. several different parts or whatever, but that was an issue for some other people, was to, like, break, because that was, I think, the most recent thing that he's done. Maybe right. not, maybe he's done something else, and I just don't know about it, but...
Right, it's the most well-known other thing yeah. that he had done when he was cast.
So I think people were just, making that connection. They were mm-hmm. thinking of him as his...
Yeah, there's a lot of really yeah. short-sighted, like... Oh, hey, we're going to cast this person because they were in this other thing that was similar. And it's, you know, there's more to it. These are yeah. actors, and that's their craft, is being able to present themselves in that particular way, whatever the role demands of them.
Yeah. So. I know we were talking a little bit earlier about Felicity's role and how
that's right.
she may or may not appear in...
yeah.
What are... I guess, what are your thoughts / preferences to that?
Well, I guess I really, for the most part, I don't get into the whole shipping part of the TV shows.
I know
you get really excited
about
it.
I'm a shipper.
I really don't care. I know that they're going to be a part of the show, and I know that people love them,
yeah.
and that's fine. You know, great. If that's what gets general audiences interested, if that's what allows these superheroes that I know and love to be put into TV shows,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. Doesn't bother me at all. I just don't get super amped up about it. That being said, I do think that they need to do something to tie up where they left Felicity and Barry's relationship.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the time that Barry was on Arrow, they were still like, there was a pretty strong spark between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And Felicity's brought him up several times since then as well, but she's still got him on the mind, and
or she's at least trying to have him on the mind, right, so that she's not constantly thinking about
right
Arrow.
Right. But
how could you not?
Sorry. Sure. Sure. Whatever. But anyways, I think that it would be really cool. We know that Arrow is going to be in the Flash pilot. We saw that in the trailer. I think it'd be really neat to see the Flash or Grant Gustin show up in the Arrow season 3 premiere, or one of the first few episodes,
mm-hmm,
to see Felicity and tell her like what's going on in his life, like,
because she's actually a person that would understand,
right?
You know,
right? Or, you would hope. I mean, well, she hasn't.
How could she not?
I mean,
she deals with the Arrow all the time. So if he was like, "Hey, I've got this superpower. I can run really fast now," right, and she was like, "Oh, I hate you," like, that would be so.
No, I'm sure she would understand, but it may be a little bit jarring because it's a superpower and she hasn't like really encountered superpowers aside from the Mirakuru.
It was a superpower, but not really, because it was sort of man-made.
Right. Right. It was a little different. But, it was a segue superpower.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good term. But, I like that.
But no, I think that he should go talk with her and say, like, here's what's going on in my life. Like, I've got this superpower. I'm trying to do good with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have time. I don't really have time for a whole lot of relationship stuff right now.
Yeah.
I doubt that's what's actually going to happen.
Right.
I expect they'll play up the love triangles quite a bit.
Oh.
Because people love love triangles.
Oh, definitely. Especially on the CW. I think right, every show has, even like right, Supernatural has a love triangle,
I mean,
between
it's
Castiel.
Probably,
and...
It's probably just like in the contract for the show. Like, you have yes, to have
X number
of love triangles at any given time. Have to have at least two love triangles going on at any given time.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely. Sometimes I wonder, honestly, because I think every single show that I watch on the CW has at least one love triangle.
Right. It's got to be. But people love them. So.
Yeah. I mean, it draws people in. And
yep.
Speaking about your shipping, okay, I don't just like arbitrarily ship people, okay? I'm not just trying to say, oh, I want these two people to be together, so that's what I'm going to make happen in my mind. But I wait until I actually see the chemistry between the characters and then decide
right,
if I want to like root for them being
right,
together or not, you know?
Right.
I'm not just a blind shipper.
Right. No, I mean, mostly what I get frustrated with the shipping is just that it's never going to actually happen, because as soon as it happens,
the series is
that,
over.
All of that tension yeah, that they've built up is gone.
Right.
And I would be much more interested in seeing like a more realistic relationship play out and actually progress,
mm-hmm,
and turn into something different, rather than just this back and forth of will they, won't they.
Yeah, but I think the will they, won't they is what intrigues people into like
you're
continuing
right,
to watch, because
you're right. That is what intrigues people into continuing to watch.
Sense of mystery.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah, so I do agree with you. I think that they should tie up some loose ends with Felicity on the mm-hmm, Flash. Just because, like you said, you know, she was talking about him. Mm-hmm. She even met with his little
his friends
or whatever.
Caitlin Snow and Cisco Ramon.
Yeah, that work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The two Star Labs employees.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like they're pretty intelligent, nerdy, and stuff like that, working with,
right,
you know, technology and stuff. And that's her, you know, bread and butter. So
right,
she's, I think, kind of been working with them, helping them, bouncing
mm-hmm,
ideas off of them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure, if nothing else, that maybe she'll be there for that. And he'll be like, huh, so this is awkward. I actually really love this other girl. But I know that you like me, so let's just be friends.
We'll
but...
see. I don't know what they'll do there.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you who I'm really interested thinking about, like, characters crossing over into the other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be really interested to see Amanda Waller show up in the Flash as well. She's the one that ran the Suicide Squad in Arrow. The Suicide Squad was the group of like Deadshot, Bronze Tiger, China White, and Shrapnel. All of them together.
Oh, wait a minute. So she was friends with Diggle, right? That's how she was introduced in the Arrow, right? Yes. Was through Diggle.
She knew, right.
Okay.
She had known.
I know Diggle. Who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I guess I didn't realize that they were called the Suicide Squad. Did they explicitly call them that in the Arrow on yes. the TV show? Did they?
Uh-huh.
Completely uh-huh. missed it.
I guess they did explicitly call it the Suicide Squad, but it was said in a way that it was like a nickname that the members of the team had come up with rather than an official title for it.
Ah.
Like, Amanda Waller introduced them, and then Deadshot chimed in, well, why don't you just call it what it is, the Suicide Squad?
I see.
Because that might be because it was it. Like the government had their finger on the button and could shut down any of them if they decided to do anything outside of the parameters of their mission.
So what would her role then be on the Flash?
I don't know, but we know that she's like tracking Oliver and following what he's doing from a government standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be interesting to see if she's tracking Barry and seeing what he's doing from a government standpoint as well.
Yeah.
And that could lead into some larger like team up things where she brings Absolutely. Them together.
Do you think that Thea will be seen? Because I mean, at the end of the Arrow, she leaves with her dad.
With John Barrowman's character,
yeah,
Malcolm Merlyn,
which I think Malcolm is going to be a reoccurring character now
he
on
is.
The Arrow.
Yeah.
So
he's going to be a regular.
So yep.
not even just a recurring guest, but a regular on the season. Uh huh.
So I didn't know if they're going to move to a different city, and we're going to see some more of them somewhere else, or
I don't know
what.
That'd be neat.
Yeah,
I mean. It'd be cool to see hop between different shows. My guess is that they'll probably stay in Starling City, but I don't know what Thea is planning on doing with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we saw in the finale, she spoiler alert,
yes,
she tried to kill him.
Yeah,
and he was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Right.
And
he's such a psycho. He's such a psycho. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm so glad that you shot me.
He was thrilled.
Like, what a weirdo.
He's like,
weirdo.
You're clearly my daughter yeah. because you tried to kill me.
Yeah. Awkward.
Right.
And by the way, your brother tried to kill me too. Like, get a life, you yeah. creeper. Yeah, so no, I'm just interested to see all the different characters that they... So I don't know if I've asked you this or not yet, actually. Do you have a list of villains that you hope to see from the comic books manifest themselves on the television show?
On The Flash?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because, we're going to see the Weather Wizard.
Right.
We know that he's going to be there.
Right.
But there's like a whole group of rogues, right?
There's a whole group of rogues.
And who are all
the big one, the like top of my list of who I really want to see on the show would be Captain Cold. He is like the big, one of the big bads for the Flash, and he's the leader of the rogues. So it'd be kind of neat to see him pull all of these other ones together to like team up. Against the Flash in some fashion.
And he's Captain Cold?
Captain Cold, yeah. He has a blue and white costume. It's like a hoodie with the sleeves cut off in the New 52. And he has a cold gun that fires.
That was something I was going to say. I've noticed that a lot of these villains don't necessarily have inherent powers. It's something that they...
There's like a weapon,
a gun, or I think, what'd you say, like that Black Mold guy, or what's his name?
Black Mold, I think, had some sort of weapon as
well. Yeah, he's got some mask and finger thing, because it's mm-hmm. not actually him that's doing it, it's somebody else wearing
right.
this thing that,
right.
you know.
Yep, there's lots of, like, different weapons that the villains use in the Flash comics. And in the comics, actually, Weather Wizard doesn't have weather powers. He has a weather wand.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of, there's some sort of MacGuffin in each of these villains that gives them their abilities. And they've played around with that in the comics a few times. In the New 52, the new startup Flash series, they actually did give all of the rogues like inherent powers rather than having them use different weapons. And there was a whole issue about how they did that, and some stuff like backfired on them. And that was how Mirror Master ended up trapped inside this mirror world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why his power was that way. So Captain Cold is at the top of my list of villains that I would want.
Yes. And who else is in the rogue group so that I kind of have an idea of like who I should be keeping an eye out for?
Sure.
And what kind of powers and stuff.
So there's...
I mean, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Captain Cold just, you know, makes everything really cold, right? He freezes stuff?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's his
thing.
Villainous power?
The other thing that's kind of interesting about Captain Cold is that he actually, like, stands by a moral code that he doesn't kill.
Oh.
Like, Captain Cold does not kill. He is a thief, and he'll, like, rob banks, mm-hmm. but he doesn't kill people doing it. And if he's ever in a situation where he has to either kill someone or give up on whatever he was trying to steal, he'll give up on what he was trying to steal.
Oh.
That moral code of not killing is more important to him.
So he's a bad guy, but only so bad.
Right. I mean, he's a blue-collar criminal.
Gotcha.
Like, he...
Is that why you like him? Is because he doesn't kill? Or
I think it makes him interesting. It's something a little bit different about him.
Are there any other villains that have that same kind of moral code where they choose not to kill?
He's the primary example that I can think of. I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
All the rest of the ones in all the rest of them in the rogue...
Generally, they don't kill when they're part of the rogues because Captain Cold is their leader and he tells them, like, this is the way it's going to be. We're not going to be killing while we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But they have definitely teamed up with the intent of killing the Flash before.
And Captain Cold's okay with that?
I think he has been, yes. I'm not sure. I think that his stance on that has kind of changed at different times in the comics.
I can see how that might be a little
mostly,
bit
mostly, I think he's frustrated because the Flash keeps...
Foiling
stop,
his
right,
plans.
Keeps foiling his different robbery attempts and whatnot.
Gotcha.
Which can sound a little bit hokey.
Yeah.
But he's a fun villain. And it's fun seeing the Flash and Captain Cold interact with one another. Even when they're outside of their respective personas as the Flash and Captain Cold, they've had a couple instances where they've encountered one another as Barry Allen and... Shoot, I'm blanking on Captain Cold's name.
Leonard Snart?
That's it. Yeah.
What an awful name.
How could I forget that one?
Yowzer. Yep. Ooh, his costume is awesome.
Yeah. Are you looking at is it the big parka version or are you looking
at the
big
parka version? Whoa, he is so brolic compared to the parka version.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just because you can see his arms. But also, so this actually makes me think of something else. Somebody, I don't know, maybe a comedian or something once said, like, I don't understand vests. Like, is your chest cold, but your arms aren't? Or, like,
right.
I don't understand. And this is kind of a perfect example, actually, because clearly his arms are cold, and yet he is still wearing a hooded vest, like a cutoff vest.
I mean, I don't know how Captain Cold experiences cold. If he ever, like, gets cold or not, I tend to think not.
Well, then why, like, doesn't he just run around, like, completely shirtless or
in
short shorts? Just nude, yeah. Why not?
Why not?
I mean, if you're going to do it, go all out.
I mean, public decency.
That's why I was going to suggest maybe some shorts or something. But, like, I mean, why wear clothes at all, I guess, if you don't experience cold.
Right. Yeah.
Because isn't that the primary function of clothing?
Yeah, sure.
Past looking,
I mean,
good and,
that,
you know, whatever.
Fashion,
like,
and...
Well, I think all of that stuff
I
came after
Captain
the fact.
I think Captain Cold is just a fashionista.
Totes in his cutoff vest. Absolutely. Like, I actually have
a cutoff hooded vest.
So,
hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
He's
pretty much
trends.
The coolest.
Absolutely.
Get it? The coolest. That wasn't intended.
Yes, yeah. So Captain Cole, and then members, who else?
Other members of the Rogues. So it's a rotating...
Is it the Rogues squad, or is it just the Rogues?
The Rogues.
Just the Rogues, okay.
Yeah, it's just the Rogues. And it's a rotating crew, so it's not always the same. But common recurring members of the Rogues are Weather Wizard and the Top and... Mirror Master and Golden Glider.
So there's Captain Cold and
yeah.
this Golden Glider,
mm-hmm.
and then the Weather Wizard.
Weather Wizard.
And I think we've talked about the Pied Piper briefly before,
yes.
right?
Yes. One thing that's really interesting about the Pied Piper that I hope they find some way to do in the TV show is that the Pied Piper character is one that... after being a villain, he was actually reformed and fought alongside the Flash for a while in the comics.
Oh, interesting.
Was like, not to use the generic good guy term, but he was fighting for the same things that the Flash was fighting
for. Right, so he kind of switched sides.
Right, more or less.
Cool.
And so that was kind of something that was interesting about him.
Yeah.
And something that hasn't done a whole lot in the comics.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting dichotomy to see him.
Right, and it'd have to be something that plays out over, you know, a longer period of time to show him, like, being a villainous force and then being captured and going through some sort of return.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, actually, Wally was the one that was dealing with him throughout this whole bit. And... they actually became pretty good friends. Like, they had their issues at first, and then they became friends and were on good speaking terms. And it was really interesting to see that develop. And it'd be really cool to see something similar on the show.
Absolutely.
I think.
Yeah, that would make for a very interesting, like, B storyline, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. We haven't, we don't see a Wally West in the TV series, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but as we've mentioned,
like, they haven't cast a Wally or anything.
No.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
No, not at all. But they did make Wally West in the comics a biracial character,
mm-hmm.
and so it's possible that they did that because Candace Patton, who's playing Iris West, is biracial. They cast her as a biracial character, so it could be that they're trying to set up a piece of continuity so that they could introduce that version of Wally West into the TV show.
Into the TV show, yeah, okay. Gotcha.
I don't know. It's possible. It could be really fun.
That would be really interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're probably thinking about that, you know, not anytime soon, but I'm sure they're trying to set something up so that down the line they have the opportunity or option, you know,
right.
to introduce him if it fits the story or whatever.
Sure, sure.
So you mentioned the Top.
Right.
What?
There's really not a whole lot to say about him. He's really fast and spins around like a top and doesn't get dizzy. There's lots of really goofy Silver Age comic villains. Lots of them. Especially for the Flash.
The Top, man.
So
like
it's
that
really,
is...
it's really better if you just kind of go with it.
Okay.
Just kind of say, oh yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, a top,
it's
totally.
Fun.
Like, that's so menacing. Every time I see
right.
a top, I run in the other direction. I'm afraid of its super fast spinning powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Top.
Oh, just Top, actually.
Just
Top. And he has one...
He's not pretentious enough to have a V in front of it. Just
no.
Top.
He has one killer costume, let me tell you. You ready for this?
I am not probably ready for this. Oh, man.
His costume is just a single, like, it's a unitard with yellow and green horizontal stripes across the entire
not even,
thing.
Not like a full body unitard. Like, the only thing that's out is his face. So
right.
it's like a onesie.
Even like the gloves and boots are part of
all
this.
All one piece. And
talk about a costume that they need to translate to the TV show.
You know how hard it would be to use the restroom in that, though? Holy cow. That would be the worst.
It would be pretty awful.
Whoever was the designer of that costume definitely that they failed at the bathroom break situation. Unless there's some sort of like trapdoor action happening, it would be...
I don't know how, through all of the like reincarnations of these characters, I don't know how that character's costume has managed to persist through all these years.
Because why not? Striped, green, and yellow? I guess
the ultimate Packers fan.
Yes! I even think he has like green eyes too that glow, right?
So why don't we go ahead and talk about the comic books a little bit, yeah? Because a week ago today, we're recording this on Wednesday, so a week ago today, the Flash issue 31 came out, and we got a really fun story with the Mirror Master causing havoc for future Flash. And it was fun for me to see Mirror Master brought back in as a villain. He kind of just pops in every now and then. What did you think about Mirror Master? This was your first ever story.
Yeah, it was,
that you had read with him.
It was a little, I guess, odd for me to, because I don't know anything about any previous villains or whatever for the Flash. It's odd to me just to have a villain come in for like one episode or.
Right.
One issue, sure. Yeah. And only be there for like a few minutes just to wreak havoc, and then he's gone. He's gone. He's taken care of, dispatched or whatever, you know. And it's it was a little abrupt. I felt like I sometimes, I don't know, I kind of like a build-up, you know, before
sure.
the reveal see, or right. whatever. Like, I want to see big, the backstory where they come from, end. Yeah, like why they're against the Flash or mm-hmm. whatever. And maybe we will see that later on, because they are kind right. of doing like this whole now and then in the future type of thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's a big chunk of time in between there that we're missing right now. So right. maybe eventually we'll see some of these little gaps filled in and everything like that. But I guess I just, I didn't know anything about the Mirror Master. I didn't even know that was really what he was called.
Right.
But interesting super villain power, I guess, that he can put people into another dimension, yeah. basically,
yeah.
right?
Like a mirror universe. Yeah, another dimension, essentially. And he can also travel through that. So you'll see him like pop up randomly in like different reflective surfaces, whether it's like a mirror or like a puddle of water.
What a creep show.
Yeah, in the comics, you'll see him just like suddenly appear in this puddle of water because it's a reflective surface.
So he's just creeping on people 24/7, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, man. But then he also can pull people into the mirror world and cause havoc that way.
Have we ever seen any of the mirror world? Like, have they actually gone into that dimension and explored it from like the mirror world's perspective or whatever, you know, like in that world?
I think there was an issue of the Geoff Johns comic book, the Geoff Johns arc of The Flash, where he actually pulled like most of Central City through into the mirror world.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, when you were in the mirror world, it looked like Central City. It was just
so things aren't like wonky itself. In this mirror world, it's the regular world, it's just a reflective version of it. I mean, so I guess I'm wondering what is
right.
the downside.
What's it look, what's like, it look what? like why is it a big deal?
Yeah
I think it's mostly just the isolation. Like when someone's pulled through to the mirror world, they can't go back on their own. Like, Mirror Master has to take them back through into the normal world.
Mm-hmm.
So they are on their own in the mirror world with nobody else.
Okay, but what if you're, like, a serial recluse and you, like, enjoy being alone? Right. So you're like, Mirror Master, take me through.
You still need food.
So there's nothing. Right. There's no trees or any grass. No. You can't grow your food there or anything.
No, I mean, unless he's pulled all that stuff through, it's I think pretty much just empty.
Oh.
It's like barren. I could be mistaken. If I'm wrong, listeners, please correct me.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what I'm talking about. I've read quite a few Flash comics, but there's plenty I haven't read.
Right. So I'm kind of interested to see if they bring this this Mirror Master and the Mirror World into the TV show then as like one of the villains.
Right. It'd be neat. I mean, it seems like something that they could do fairly feasibly. You know, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and it'd be pretty easy to do this effect on a TV budget.
Yeah.
And just have someone show up in a mirror and have them pull people through to a mirror world. Like, it wouldn't take a ridiculously high budget to make something like that happen. And
absolutely,
I think there's some interesting things they could do story-wise with a villain that isolates different people and pulls them out, and even like having them watch other people from within the mirror world so they can see what's happening around them without actually being a presence in those different areas could be really fun and interesting.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this, but there seems to be a lot of mirror type creep shows. I was just thinking about like haunted stories and stuff like that. You always see it in like really, there's never a good mirror person, you know, like there's nobody ever reflecting back like the best version of yourself or whatever, you know, it's always like,
I'm living in a mirror world and I'm just here to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always like these serial killers.
I can just see like Mirror Master showing up in a mirror and saying like, oh, you got a little something right above your right eyebrow there. Right. You might want to get that taken care of.
Right. Yeah. Like, that mole's looking awfully strange today. Maybe you should go get that checked out.
Right.
Thanks, Mirror Master. You saved my life, you know?
Yay.
Ding type of thing.
No.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
No, it never does. They should implement something like that. But I guess I was going to say it could turn out really creepy because there's so many versions of mirror murderers before that. I don't know. I think it would be really interesting to see how they portray this.
It would be. It'd be really cool.
And like you said, fairly inexpensive because it's just some mirrors and.
Yeah, and it seems pretty likely. I would say we know Weather Wizard is the first villain, and Weather Wizard by himself, like, he is a member of the Rogues as a whole, and the Rogues really work best as this collective unit. And it's been done so many times with such high degrees of success in the comic books that it seems pretty likely that in this first season we'll see them introduce more and more of the Rogues and then have them like gather together for the finale or something like that.
I hope they don't just plop them in there though. Like, I'm always interested in a backstory. Like, I want to know why these villains are villains and what made them hate the Flash and why they're like out to get him. If it's just because, oh, he does good and I want to do evil, so I'm going to get you type of thing.
Well, I mean, there's a certain amount of it that's just simply like power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And when you give these characters power, it's pretty common that the immediate response isn't, oh, I'm going to go save people. It's, oh, I'm going to go get rich or get back at that person that I don't like.
Yeah, but can't you get rich and save people?
Well, you'd think. But
like, I mean, can't you do good and get
rich? You're trying to talk logical reason with supervillains. Just doesn't always work.
Right. That is a losing conversation for sure.
Right, right. Oh, one thing that's kind of fun that I'll bring up because it was a nice little Easter egg nod in The Flash 31 that you probably didn't get because you haven't read Blackest Night. Like, you're not a longtime reader. But a little Easter egg that they put in was there was a page where Barry Allen was wearing a Blue Lantern t-shirt. And that's a little nod to a comic story arc a few years ago called Blackest Night, where Green Lantern actually and the other Lanterns deputized other characters to become like honorary Lanterns for a couple issues. It was like two issues or something. And the Flash was actually given a Blue Lantern ring in that story, and he was a Blue Lantern for a couple issues, and it was really fun. So
that is cool.
That was a nice little nod that Brett Booth put in there. Booth and Norm Ratbund put into the issue to just kind of give a little bit of an homage to
that. Is pretty cool.
Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Back in a Flash. and we'll have an interview to go along with that. We interviewed the artist of the Flash comics, Brett Booth.
And that was a really cool interview. Like, I really enjoyed talking to him.
It was lots of fun. So he
I can't wait to share that with everybody.
Right. He talked with us about his passion for Wally West as a character.
Yeah.
And he talked with us about his interest in dinosaurs. And it was pretty fun to talk with him.
We were kind of all over the board with him, for sure.
Definitely. But thanks to Brett Booth for being an interview. And make sure you tune in 2 weeks for this will be the 4th episode of Back in a Flash. With that, I'm Steven.
And I'm Meg.
And this has been Back in a Flash.